Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello everybody. This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the mysterious Ozark, Cougar County. And our guest, once again, the Honorable Benny LeBeau, Blue Thunder. And how you doing, Grandfather Benny?
Hey, I'm doing great there, Blue Water. Thank you for being back with me and wanting to visit with me on some different issues.
Man, I'm telling you, you're the busiest guy. You have been all over since the last time we talked and doing some good things. I'm sure you feel pretty good about what you're doing. So what have you been up to?
Oh, I've been traveling back and forth to talk about coming together, the tribal nations, to work on a earth healing ceremony similar to what I've been doing with the 19 plus 1 to alleviate the problem with the volcano in Yellowstone on May 8th of 2004. And then later, November 15th, we did another medicine wheel ceremony in California that brought the rain back to the trees on November 15th and 20th. So since then, I've been traveling, talking to tribes about earth and vibration and sound, wanting to, the spirits and dreams and visions are asking for people to consider many things today because of the natural disasters that are unnatural disasters that's being put into the public view. And these different perspectives are, this is repurification time. The earth is going to fix all the areas that are causing lots of negativity and problems around the world. And for us, the prophecies say that the indigenous nations will lead the world into understanding how how we can do many things in sacredness and heal the earth. And so the tribal nations have this vibration and sound and harmony within their ceremonies to reharmonize the earth with sound and vibration. Many of the tribal nations have forgotten. And the message has come to me that I'm to go visit with them and ask them to consider these things and begin to remember exactly why we're here on this, on Mother Earth.
Right, right. Well, you
some of the things I'm doing.
You were up at White Earth recently, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a tremendous problem with suicide.
I tried to talk with them before in the past, but they locked the reservation down and they weren't letting any members in except for their own. And the Indian Health Service was in there doing some work with their, psychological, psychiatric type ways of trying to help the people. But, they're doing the best they can with the people who are in there trying to work. And while I was there, last month, they've had a suicide every week, one a week, they told me. It was one of the spiritual leaders. I was invited to go to a ceremony while I was over that way. And in the fire department, there were some spirits there. And so I went over to help out, and they wanted me to help do the cedaring and different things. So they asked me to help them. And when I did, they opened up to me and talked about some of the problems in the community. And right now there's a lot of people who are dying there, and they mentioned to me that one young man had been hurt and beat up by some gangs and thrown into the lake, Red Lake. And then a spiritual leader from the north through our ways of indigenous peoples, told them where they would find his body in the lake. They went and looked, and sure enough, there he was.
Yeah.
So they asked me what I thought about the lake. But I didn't know this, and I told them there seems to be a lot of dead spirits in the water. That means people. They've died in the water, and they're out there. And so they've imaged the water. So it's like when you drink the water, the darkness is there as a dark spirit, so it's causing problems. And so with many things that we understand as indigenous nations, similar to Dakarimoto, he had something take place in a dam in Japan, and a person had died in the water. When he took a picture of the water, it showed the person's face. And so he talked about this, and so what they did was do a prayer in the lake now to alleviate that problem. When they did that, talking to the water to release that man who drowned there, the air bubbles formed around his body, and he floated to the surface, and they retrieved him.
Oh, you're kidding.
And speaking to the water releases the spirits of negativity, anger, and hatred, because water holds the vibration of what we do and think. So through the tribal nations, we know this. Some remember, but many have forgotten. Throwing thoughts at each other is like shooting a ray at each other and knocking each other over. So these are the messages of bad thought forms, anger, hatred, jealousy, pain, sorrow, and suffering. It's these kinds of things that shoots holes into auroras. In our auroras are seven colors, we get seven colors within us. And so they knock dark holes in us, and that's where the viruses and sicknesses and contamination of the emotions are being hurt, because of not having great thought forms that the Creator, the Great Spirit, gave us. All cultures, all nations. And so these are some of the messages that have been sent through the ancestors and visions and dreams to myself and others. And we're asking our tribal nations to now that when the water is imaged, if the water gets imaged that Dr. Emoto proved, what are we doing to ourselves when we're thinking these thoughts? Well, we're destroying ourselves and others with anger and hatred. And these are some of the messages and the things that has been coming to me. And I've been working with Dr. Emoto, visiting with him. And as a matter of fact, I just got done visiting with him again at a talk he did in Big Bear Lake on California, up in the mountains. So, we've talked about many things, and the imaging has went into the soil. Wherever someone was murdered, killed, raped, or wars, or whatever took place there, that energy and that vibration is still in the soil. That means wherever people were killed, their spirit is still in the soil. So people see these ghosts in houses and buildings here and there. Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly what it is. Those things are trapped, and they can't get out. So the carpets of Mother Earth has much blood-stained things on them of these kinds of entities, with the animals being killed and murdered, the humans being killed and murdered, the grass, the trees being killed and murdered. There's much negativity there of the clear cutting of the trees, the pollution of the desecration that's taking place on the earth, tearing up the tree of life and taking the fruit of the life is the gold, the silver, the diamonds, the rubies, the copper, the coal, the oil, and all those things has imaged the earth in trauma. And the messages for us as indigenous nations of the visions and our dreams are asking our peoples to come back into order and to go to them places and clear them with our drums and our vibration and our thoughts. Our thoughts clears the water, like Dr. Emoto has proved in his messages from water. If we put our thoughts in the water and it's dark and has looks like cancerous cells, we put our thoughts on our love, peace, and harmony and giving thanks, that water turns pure. So it's like if I get a drink of water out of the tap, like this morning, for instance, that's what I did, and I tasted it. It had a lot of chemicals. I had a friend sitting with me, a Chimawavi Navajo lady, and we were sitting there talking, and I said, see this water? It has the chemicals. And I put my hand over it, put my thoughts on it, and this water will change pure, and I can drink it. There'll be no chemicals, and that won't go into my body and hurt me. So when I do this, watch, the water will change. And I did my thoughts and my prayers on the water, and it changed. There was no chemicals in there then. That's how we can change all pollution, radiation, contamination. Everything on the earth can be cleared and cleansed, but the indigenous nations have the power to do this with their drums, their thoughts, their vibrations of songs, the 13 tones of harmony. Many things have been given to us, but we have forgotten. And many of the tribal nations are still using war dances, war ceremonies. These are not of peace. These are of anger and the vibration of the past. So when they're still doing those ceremonies, they're still carrying on war, not knowing what that energy force behind it is that is still causing separation. They're going to go back into the old days. They're going to go back into the old ways. Those old ways are the war ceremonies. And they're practicing them still. This is why the contamination and the direction of what's going on in the reservations of suicides, drunkenness, drug abuse, etc. is happening. Not only that, but the darknesses in the water were being imprinted, implanted by many things of the dark entities that are attacking us. And when we forget to use prayer and thoughts and sound to clear those things out of the areas, there will continue to be suicides. And this is what's happening in Red Lake. So now with these many messages, they wanted me to come back. But for me, I travel here and there, but I travel on nickels and dimes. And it's hard for even tribal nations to get each other to go places because of funding and finances. So, you know, I cry out in prayers and songs to the Creator to help send finances when I need them, and people send me, you know, frequent flyer miles or different ways to get me there. And, you know, my tribal nations of the Shoshones in Wyoming think that I'm out here selling sacred site information, and I went crazy. I'm not following their traditions. I say I've turned into a white Indian, and there's many things being said. And so this is gossiping, pointing fingers, and jumping to conclusions of the war ceremonies. So in our Shoshone nations, we have war bonnet dances. And those war bonnet dances are being carried on, and I was attacked by some members saying, we still carry the war bonnets and the war bonnet dance song. This is our tradition. You're not following tradition. I said, yeah, I'm not following war, that's for sure. The messages are to stay in peace. We put the blood, and we cursed ourselves when we put the blood on these sacred feathers that carry the white sacred light of peace. And that white sacredness is what we carry on our center poles, the tree of peace, the tree of knowledge in our sun dances, where we don't pierce there. We call this the following the heart of the rose of peace. At this tree of life, tree of knowledge, that radiates white light when the vibrations come in through the sacred medicine pole ceremony that we're doing called Sundance. And the blue, it's on the other fork of the tree, brings in the clarity of wisdom and knowledge. The blue and the white flag of knowledge and peace and sacredness and following peace is following the rose and the heart of this rose that was given to us as Shoshones. And all cultures had the same and similar within the indigenous nations and all cultures of the world. And everything is the same and similar, but they're different. But they do the same purpose of no matter what they do. And so this is what I'm calling forth now, is that the tribal nations in California, Nevada, Utah, Idaho, and Wyoming, and I have another dream of these states, and Arizona, to do this ceremony for the Uto-Aztecan linguistic groups of the Shoshonean linguistic peoples, which are the Hopis, the Utes, the Paiutes, the Chemehuevi, the Losino, the Serranos, and many other tribes who speak this language, who are the lost tribes in California, to open up to do ceremonies on 13 sacred sites in this crescent moon, which I'm calling the Dolphin Nation Activation, that will activate the water in these areas and heal the earth where the mining is in Nevada, Idaho, Utah, Arizona, Wyoming, and California, and ask them to wake up and use their minds and their thoughts to clear the land and to fix things, because nature is going to fix itself where the contamination of development and destruction has taken place, is the disasters that take place all across the world. If we can do these things together, one mind, one heart, we heal the earth, we protect our children, and we bring about great awareness of how to use our thought forms and protect Mother Earth and the environments, protecting the sacred sites that have been developed by greed, so on and so forth. And so these are some of the messages. I guess that's a mouthful.
That's great. I applaud what you're doing. Let me digress back to the clearing of water. I know this is something that my wife Betty would especially appreciate, because she doesn't like that old chemical water. What can you know, without actually going through ceremony, you know, which you don't want to do in a recording, what can people do to clear their own water, say if they're at a restaurant and can't get good filtered water?
Well, all they can do is look at the water with their eyes, put their hand by the water, and then radiate out a thought that says, I want all the anger, the sickness, and the darkness that's in this water to leave. For if a person had picked up that water, that was drinking water that we buy in a store, but they were angry and pissed off and they were going through a bad time, that vibration went into the water. That means the darkness went into it, the person. So they call it the snakes. They go in the water. It's the bad thoughts. It's the bad thinking process. It's the emotions of that person goes in the water. Now, if this water is coming from a treatment plant, the people are there, and they're working there, those thoughts go in the water. So what the people are drinking are the person's thoughts, which is the darkness, which is what we call the snakes, go in the water. And then when they go in the water, they go in us, and what do we have during the day? We have what that person had. And that's how it works. And a way to clear that is with vibration. So our thoughts are vibrating thoughts that goes towards the water and vibrates. And then if I put my hand by it, out of the middle of my hand shoots a vibration, a spiral, touches the water. What my thoughts are is that vibration of the spiral that's going into the water, asking it to change the darkness out, now to change over in alchemy, to turn to sacred white, silver color, and also to be golden. That goes into the water, which restores the prisms of the rainbows in there, like a crystal. Mm-hmm. That turns crystal clear. The chemicals, the pollution, the bad thought forms will turn to purity. Now the water is pure. We're water. When we drink the water, what's inside me that is dark or not good, that water will change it and keep the illnesses and the sicknesses from me. That means the same thing has to be done with the food. Anyone who contaminated the animal, like the chickens being killed on these, you know, these lines are going down and they're all on this rolling thing and they're all being killed and murdered by these machines. Well, they're in fear. So that's what happens to the food. And when the people eat chicken, it's got fear in it. What does it do? It puts fear into the people, etc. The pig, the cow. And if they're being fed chemicals and we're eating those chemicals, you can imagine the illnesses and the sicknesses and why we are sick. And putting our thoughts on the meat, the food, the eggs, everything clears and cleans it. Now, people ask a lot, saying, well, why does this happen immediately, or does it take a long time to do this? And the messages are, if the people are in peace and in love and harmony with inside themselves, they can do it within an instant. But those who are anger and hatred and try to do it, it'll take them a lot longer to clear, because they don't have high energy, high clear light, or clear thoughts to do that. But if they sit and continue to do it for 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, or even 5 minutes, it could be just like 1 second for a person who is real pure in their minds and hearts. But those who aren't pure in great thought forms of having peace and love and caring ways within them will not be able to do that as fast as those who do.
Oh, oh.
Oh, see you. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some cases cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second, per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim supercharges your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. I have a message here from 1975 from John Wayne. It comes right out of today's headlines. So you Indian folks who are following the progressive trend in politics, you're following the people that supported slavery. You're following the people that have enslaved you ever since the Civil War. Listen to John Wayne.
You know, it's a funny thing, the Indians now, this AIM group have started something that now they're against me for some reason, but I am the only man in pictures that always gave them their human dignity. I never was in a picture. I never allowed myself at any time to do anything that would take their human dignity away from them, and that to me is the most important thing in a man. I have found that a certain type that calls himself a liberal, I always thought I was a liberal. I came up terribly surprised one time when I found that I was a right-wing conservative extremist. When I have listened to everybody's point of view that I ever met, and then decide how I should feel. I mean, but this so-called new liberal group, Jesus, they never listen to your point of view, and they make a decision as to what you think, and they're articulate enough and in control of enough of the press to force that image out for the average person. For some reason, maybe it's these pictures, they have not been able to do that with me. In spite of what they say, people have not taken sides that I'm a, you know, it hasn't affected my career in popularity, let's say. In spite of the fact that they've tried to make it do it. There isn't a hell of a lot that we can do to change human behavior. We keep making laws to try and change human behavior. You can't do it. I think you can accept it and feel how you would feel in that position. being conned into Keynesianism and socialism now. But it isn't going to stop the selfishness of human behavior. It isn't going to stop the greed. If you take $20 and give a dollar to every son of a bitch in a room, and come back a year later, one of the bastards will have most of the money. I mean, it's just human nature, and they're not gonna whip it with a lot of laws. I think when you make people conscious, as communication gets better, and you make people conscious of somebody in trouble, starving or something like that, the average person will help. But of course now they've got so damn many charities and there's so much professionalism, you know, if you have a charity, you hire some professionals to work up the charity, and by the time you get the money, you get $4 for the recipient and $400 for the administrators. So, I mean, I think there are people who try to affect a thinking where they know more than some other son of a bitch and try to put a false impression on what human nature is. Christ sakes, we have proven that we go back to hope at the first opportunity. Just throw out a little fish and bam, they're out there ready to grab it. So we are optimistic. We have to be optimistic. Christ, what else would there be in life if you lose optimism?
So this is the reteaching and restructuring of how thought forms work, how the indigenous nations work with their knowledges and wisdoms through sound and vibration, is the cultures and the traditions of why they're doing what they've been doing for thousands and thousands of years, and the tribal nations have forgotten. Now that doesn't mean each and every one of them. And that means they're the cultures too, the same and similar.
Right, that's right.
So for me, these are the messages that I'm told to carry through to bring this clarity to the other tribal nations and the cultures as we do the work in America as a coming together, like the five fingers of the hand, is the people of the Condor nations in the south of the Americas, and then in the central are the Eagle nations of the Americas, which is the United States, and the northern part, which is Canada, which are some of the Buffalo Nations. So we've got the Buffalo Nations, the Eagle Nations, and the Condor Nations. Asking them to consider some of these things so that we can fulfill the prophecies, that we can heal the earth, heal the water, heal the air, and the fire, which is electrical magnetic energy, is the fire, and also the volcanoes. So that means volcanoes, tsunamis, tornadoes, and all forms of environmental things that are happening to us is being caused by the human thought forms and their actions on the earth. And now when we begin to understand some of these things, we can heal anything on the planet. Nothing is impossible. There is hope. When people begin to notice, and when they do it, they see it happen in front of their eyes. It takes place. Like the volcano that went to sleep in Yellowstone National Park on May 8th of 2004 was those kinds of thought forms. And then on November 15th again to bring the rain and the snow and the springs back alive in Big Bear Medicine Hole ceremony, it took place again. And now, again, we're doing this other ceremony of the crescent moon. And when we do this, I'm calling forth to those nations who lived in that crescent moon design or that area on the earth, as asking them to come together. And some of those Mission Indians in California are the Shoshone-speaking nations, but they are living with anger and hatred and are lost. So I'm calling to the lost peoples to come together on the sacred sites, and that's what I'm doing in California. But it's very tough, so I'm asking for people out there to check out my website and help send donations to me to travel for gas and money to make it to these tribal nations, communities, to help me, because this is a very hard job, and it doesn't pay very much. But it's a thrilling adventure out here, let me tell you. I've been asked not to come back in many areas and leave. I've been threatened. It's a great job. But why would anyone want to do this? Well, because I love Mother Earth, and I love her children, and I want to see peace, and I want to see freedom, and I love Mother Earth so much like I love the children and our people, that we could have peace finally sometime in the future, knowing these kinds of things will come. So the leadership of the past, of those elders who came forth, men and women who are gone now and sacrificed themselves for us today, have distilled these things within us to protect the sacred sites. Now the information is coming out that I have and others showing what the sacred sites are about and how they hold the energy there to keep the earth clean and cleared and cleansed. But many of our tribal nations forgot. And the Creator said, I'm here to help remind them so they can begin to remember, because of these burdens that we carry, is the burdens that I carry for all the nations to bring these messages to them, which is a heavy burden in itself, along with the other brothers and sisters out there who are doing the same and similar work that have been on your show and other shows and other talk shows across the nation and have been in.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Hurt. Some of them have died from illnesses and sicknesses because of those people's thoughts being thrown at them. Prejudiced, hatred, and anger. And those things, what they're doing to each and every one of their tribal members, their children, and those things. And for them to begin to wake up and understand it, what's happening. And so it goes back to the old saying, wake up and smell the roses of peace.
Well, let's see. Had another question for you. Oh, yeah. Were you able to get the funding to go down to Peru with Maria Gourlay?
No, I wasn't able to do that. And I was supposed to go to Egypt, and I didn't get that either. But that was the way it was supposed to be, because I had other work in store for me that it wasn't time for me to go there. So I was to do these other things, and I was to visit, go to Minnesota and visit with our brothers and sisters over there and to talk with them, and now also to do the other work that I was intended to do was by following these dreams and visions that are being sent right now.
Well, let me ask you, let's just say if somebody out there has a recreational vehicle or a van camper or something that they'd like for you to use, would that be more efficient than traveling by car and staying in a motel?
Well, it sure would be, but the message is for them, you know. A lot of people have those things, they want to get rid of them, they barely run.
Yeah.
I don't need something to give me a headache for me to put more money in if they want to do something like that. Someone has something, I need something that will run for 80,000 to 150,000 miles, and that means that's as many miles that'll go in there in just in a short few months. So if they want to offer something and give me a headache, then, you know, I don't want something that'll cause me a headache. If they want to offer something, I hope that they could send something that's brand new so it has could run a long ways. But I know that it's hard to find those people, but anything that runs great and could last for at least 60 or 70,000 miles without me having to put $300, $500, $800 into it would be great. So I guess you can understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, because I know Toyota trucks, even, you know, if they're 5, 10 years old and they've got a couple hundred thousand miles on them, those things, 180,000 miles on a Toyota pickup is only about half its life. So if you run across somebody's got a Toyota pickup, a truck, they're a good deal.
Yeah, that's fine, you know. And for me, I travel across the country, so I'm not asking people to help with frequent flyer miles or however, because that's the only way I travel. And, you know, people think I'm getting rich, especially my people at home out here selling sacred site information. Well, if they could be with me, they'd see how rich I am.
Yeah.
That means I don't have any riches. The money I get, I spend to go here and there to the next place.
Great.
But anyway, travel. It's pretty crazy out here.
It's very expensive to travel, and I saw recently where the either the EPA or the Center for Disease Control has announced a moratorium on the use of fluoride for drinking water. And I think it's really interesting because I'd always suspected a link between fluoride and cancer. And I know that back in the 1880s that there was a man in Utah that was told in a dream or vision that cities and municipalities and governments would start putting something in water that would cause cancer. And, there's countries like Belgium those people smoke a lot more than we do and drink a lot more than we do, but we have so much more heart disease and other kinds of problems than they do, and you know, we drink and smoke less, so there's got to be something about what's going in our bodies. Now, you mentioned what could be in water, you know, and then when you start thinking that about...
I'm not saying what could be, I'm saying what is.
Well, yeah, right, exactly. Well, I'm just thinking, I mean, you know what is, but what I'm going to bring up is a lot of people start thinking about what could be, because, you know, when you flush your toilet, it goes to the municipal sewage treatment plant, and you know, they run the water through aeration, and you know, a lot of, you know, your drinking water is basically recycled wastewater. People don't know this, and gee whiz, you know, so you can imagine, you know, what kind of sickness and illness and everything, that even though the hard matter, the bacteria may be gone, the vibrations, all these things are still in the water. No wonder we're so sick in this country.
And that's the messages of using thought forms to clear things. This is what we've always understood, but it doesn't teach that in kindergarten,
nope.
Grade school, high school, or college. And why? Everybody knew that. We could clear our own waters. We wouldn't need all those contraptions and inventions that are being invented for money and making fluoride and all this. We don't need any of that. We can use our thoughts to clear our water and fix it and hydrate it and make it pure, just like the foods. All those things are made for greed. And the people fall into the role of following through with it because they're educated to think that, and that's what's taking place. And the people have been brainwashed and are lost. And so our tribal nations are lost in education. So, you know, my tribal elders that sent me to college was to go spy on college in a way to go see why they won't listen and why they're teaching these things, and come back and tell us what you see and what you found. Well, I did. What I found was corruption and darkness of teaching false teachings and all these things tearing up the earth and engineering and construction and development, how to get 3 and 4 houses, how to manipulate this, manipulate that, how to divide, how to multiply, how to fractionalize people, how to do all these things. And I was like, only macro. And I went back and told them. I said, you're crazy. We were told to send our children to get educated. Well, if they're getting educated and they're coming back, then why are they not following through with what earth wisdom or earth knowledge is about? They don't understand it anymore, and they come back, they don't even want to do that. They think they need to be rich and powerful now. And what's that doing to them? Took them into greed. Well, the greed is teaching them all what's going on, which is destroying the earth, fighting in wars, manipulations of the earth's resources, fighting over who's going to be rich and who isn't. Those kinds of informations. And so these are what's going on. And because of what you're talking about with the contamination of the waters and recycling and all this and that, we don't need to do any of these kinds of things. Well, we can do all this with our minds and our hearts. But yes, we can. We do need some of those things now, because it's just hard to think about exactly what we're going to need to do for the future. But if we just sit back and look and see, we know that the future is bleak ahead, because we're still continuing to move forward with education to destroy the earth and not really understand what we're doing. Right now, the environmental agencies are trying to come up with new ways of healing the environment, and none of that works. Not one of them things work in a great manner. 100%, no way. The only way it'll work 100% is understanding native indigenous knowledges of sound and vibration through our prayers, through our thoughts, through our songs, through our cultures that gave us these wisdoms. And then the people are fighting over who's right, who's wrong, because they fell into the role of the European thought forms that came, and the Spaniards and et cetera, and even their own indigenous nations called judgments. And now they're not in peace. And when we come into peace, we'll begin to learn and know these things that we're talking about on the show this evening or during the day, whenever you broadcast this, that now's the time for them to wake up and smell the roses. I mean, how long is it going to take them? Until they watch their children die in front of them because they're persecuting them and telling them how to walk, how to be, and how to breathe, when they've been given their own visions and dreams and gifts to come into the world and use them. Now they're being persecuted for the way they believe. They're hearing voices, seeing spirits, and they're sending them in to get on Prozac and Zoloft and rehabs and rehabilitations, and eventually they become angry and hateful and they end up in prisons or end up dead. these are the many messages that the people, I believe, and the messages that have been sent that are saying that these are some of the things our cultures, and especially indigenous nations, need to take into consideration to come under, to understand that it's peace for brothers for all nations. Fighting keeps the fears of darkness within us. And understanding these with each race on the earth brings the pathways of truth to the understandings and the meanings and the teachings which needed. For Mother Nature is crying for peace, and it rings throughout the realms of the whole world. And this truth will follow beneath our footsteps that has been trodden by the followers of purity of our ancestors of the past, that help bring all nations forth in a bright light of sacredness that will diminish all the darkness along our shadows that we have caused to the earth. And each of these new warriors, the Rainbow Warriors, are being chosen to follow those old belief systems. That is how it works. And through this, we'll bring all the light through all the forces to erase the darkness upon Mother Earth. And bringing forth the spoken truth is what is needed to fulfill the nation's traditions. And many will falter or fall from these ways, which is happening now. But bringing hope within these that are wandering in their own shadows, and they're whispering inside them this gathering. But within the heart, each and every one knows it's hurt and sorrow and pain. But the Great Spirit is saying, walk beside them all and try to help them and bring forth this information and ask us to become united and for us to remain tall upon the blanket that supports the source of nature's own breath and do these things to bring harmony, which we all share, and we all walk beside each other, side by side in peace, so we can help Mother Earth heal, because if we don't do these things, we will perish from the earth.
I know you mentioned, you know, a lot of our younger people are starting to see visions and spirits and so forth. And, you know, the about, 10 or 12 years ago, the psychological authorities revised their diagnostic and statistical manual, which is kind of their Bible. And they revised it to reflect the fact that certain cultures, people in certain cultures, you know, do hear voices, do see things, and that these things don't necessarily mean that a person is mentally ill if it's in a cultural context. And but the key to it is, let's say a young person that's up on the reservation up in Minnesota that you just went to has been praying to Creator for visions and has one, and it scares them. Well, you know, and they go to the elders, at this point, you know, a lot of the elders don't know, and a lot of the elders may not even have these experiences. Here's the point where that young person could become endangered if they go to, say, Indian Health Service and they start drugging them. If they shouldn't drug them unless and until that person feels that this dream or voice or vision or whatever is causing problems in their life. But you know, a lot of times when people first wake up to spirit, it scares them, and then they'll run off to psychologists and they'll get told, "Oh, you're schizophrenic or whatever." So, you know, it's only been 10 or 12 years, you know, since the psychological authorities woke up to these things. So it's going to be catch-as-catch-can as far as whether kids or other people are going to be drugged or not, depending on who the therapist is and whether or not they're sensitive and ask the right questions. It is a real problem, though. Because, you know, it's been so long, you know, we're a long way from the people that we used to be, and especially here in the United States, you know, you pointed out just how much a lot of our people have forgotten. Not all of them, but a lot of them have, and that presents a real problem because we're assuming that we're still Native people, and then you have this war between the full bloods most of whom have really become assimilated into white society. And the war between them and the mixed bloods, because, I mean, let's face it, nowadays, the mixed bloods have picked up the torch and they're carrying it. A lot of times full bloods don't like this. And would you like to comment on that?
Why, sure, why not? Commenting on many other things.
Are you you're a mixed blood yourself, aren't you?
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals, and you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken tasting garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff, and I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed, it's convenient, stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable, it's convenient, it tastes really good. Taste the peaches, they're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated. And freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear, it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now, Marie
Osmond.
Put it
under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
Yeah, I'm three-fourths Shoshone and Paiute. Part Irish. So through these things is what I went through and what many of our people going through. And so the messages from the Great Spirit and the things and dreams and visions and studying history, you know, I looked at our people and I asked these many questions, and when the government rounded people up, put them on reservations, now they had white people that they rounded up with the Indians, and those people had buckskins on, they had peace bonnets on, and they were using feathers. And they look just like the people, with their same regalia, clothes, whatever you want to call it. They were doing healing ceremonies just like their next-door brother who stood beside them, who was dark-skinned. They were light-skinned. They were doing the same healing techniques as what they were doing, believed in the same thoughts, the same way of the culture, and stood side by side in peace. But when the reservations were made, now they made blood quantums. And when they did these things, they put in judgments, prejudices, and these things into the full bloods, who now carry prejudice against the brothers who came in those days, and they accepted them, and they married into the tribes and had children that were mixtures. They were not looked at as mixed bloods or quantum blood degrees. They were looked at as one, that they had a gift from the Creator because the Creator had sent them in, the children, that way, to bring love and peace and their gifts to help the whole of the oneness of the tribal peoples of those cultures and those nations. And the people have fallen into deceit and anger and have been fooled by the darkness and are calling these things traditions.
Yep.
So we have tribal peoples today in California, for example, that these mixed bloods are the lost children, and they won't even allow these children into the ceremonies because they've got black blood in them and Indian blood, or white blood and Indian blood, or vice versa, whatever it is that way. And it was never to be that way because the Great Spirit had sent us all in to only teach love and respect for one another, and this is why it was needed. And now we're coming to the crossroads of what is really wrong and what kind of thought forms do we need to have to bring peace. If we continue to do those thought forms and separate brothers from brothers and sisters from sisters, you got full-blooded tribal nations, and then the mother may marry another man, and then a half-brother may be white. That separates brothers, and they fight. And separates them. What do? Join gangs. And the young girls, too. Then even the old and the middle-aged, and that's what they went through, and they're beginning to die from cancers. Why? Because of thought forms. So they destroyed themselves because of thoughts. And those thoughts means that they are 70 to 90% water. When they have those thoughts, they make holes in themselves and makes us sicknesses, just like Dr. Moto proved with his messages from water. And so through those thoughts and those things has caused the illnesses and the viruses and the sicknesses within the body. And by us not taking care of our traditions and cultures, by fighting over who should be enrolled and who shouldn't be and who is full blood and who is mixed blood and all this and that, doesn't even amount to a hill of beans of anything that even is worth talking about. All that is causing confusion, hatred, anger, and separation. When it was never the way, when the white man came here, they accepted them and they were in peace always. Until wars and anger and hatred came into play. Well, those wars came because of anger and hatred and judgments and prejudices. And then it carried on to the Indian Wars, and now it's been distilled into the tribal nations because of reservations, impacting them, teaching them to be mad, angry, pissed off, setting them there, so that darkness will take them out of the truth of what they're, instead of what they need to do, is to forgive, do the ceremonies, and accept each other as brothers and sisters, no matter who they are or what they are. And these are the messages that the Great Spirit has sent for peace. And the same thing is happening in Israel, in Iran, in Iraq, and other countries around the world. The same thing. Now the time is purification time, and the gateway is getting ready to close in the underworld, and to take those brave, angry, hateful peoples off the planet, because they are in sadness and sorrow, and there's no hope for them, so Mother Earth and Father is going to clean them from the surface of the planet. And that's nature on its move right now.
Yeah.
So, if we want to understand some of these things, those who are doing that will fall beneath the sword. Those who don't do that will stay by working in peace. So the messages are that within the powwows, in our traditions and the cultures, we're speaking, carrying the weapons into the powwows, honoring the veterans. The messages are there's no more sword for sword, which would be like word for word. And by carrying these weapons into the powwows and into our ceremonies of Sundance is imprinting the people to go into war at the Tree of Peace. And at the Tree of Peace we'll have nothing but peace. And these are some of the messages that the Great Spirit has sent to many of us, called the Warriors of the Rainbows, who will bring the messages of the wisdom to the peoples. Many will not like it. Many of the elders will be asleep at this time. Many will be afraid to even make a decision or what to do, because they will know not what to do, because they're stuck in the darkness. And this is what's taking place now. But we're on the move now. The dreams and the visions are coming to help wake up many.
Well, it's especially nice when if you show up on a reservation and there's an elder or two there that says, hey, I saw you in a dream. You know, those kind of things really have credence.
Yes.
And into more and more of that. You know, one of the more obscure Hopi prophecies was that someday that the Hopi children would stop wearing their traditional haircut and they would shave their heads. And I noticed here about, 12, 15 years ago, that the kids down on Navajo Rez and the Hopi Rez had started shaving their heads because they were joining Hispanic gangs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just absolutely shocked. I know the elders were too.
Well, there's a reason for that. The darkness came in. And they came in with the gangs and the new cliques and the new ways of doing things.
Yeah.
So they shaved the hair off. Why do they shave the head? The tribal peoples have long hair. That holds electrical magnetic energy that stores great power within the brain. Once you cut that hair off, the brain doesn't store that powerful energy of thoughts that adds to the thoughts power of peace. Now once that's cut off, they don't get the messages from the creator, this and that, and the energy force is not there, so they fall into darkness. So those who shave their heads walk on the dark side.
Yeah.
And those who have long hair get the messages of peace and stay in peace. And this is part of the darkness and the dark forces that came in to fool humanity, fool the youth. And so this is why they do that. And these are some of the messages that was given and to talk about that. This is why it's important for us to understand what hair is about. On our heads. Where is our brain? Where's our computer? It's on our head. Inside our head. And then the hair electrifies the brain, circuiting, to keep it electrically charged, to be powerful. And then what do we have that's powerful? Thoughts. When we're using in positive white light thought forms, like clearing the water, we have high energy, we can clear the water within a second. If we don't have any hair on our head, we don't have high electrical charge in our brain, we have a low charge. A low charge is low vibration, that means it's dark. So the dark entities will come in, mean dark thoughts, anger, hatred, jealousy, pain, sorrow. Any emotion that is not good will sit there and cause that person to be angry, and it's causing the problems that they're causing now. Those are some of the messages.
Excellent, because I know a lot of cultures, you know, they go to war, they shave their heads, and you're probably for cleanliness, but they didn't realize that it was going to cause a problem with their brains. Isn't that that's ironic? That's amazing.
Well, there's many messages of scalping in the past. The darkness came in and told the people to take the hair. Well, why was it? I think it's self-explanatory now.
Yeah.
And many of those tribal nations are still hanging on to them scalps.
Yeah.
And calling them teaching powerful power. We have medicine. Look, we still have the scalps. Well, those scalps were taken in disrespect of taking people's spirits and energy from them. And that's the darkness, and they think it's power and medicine. Well, it is power. It's a dark power and a dark medicine that's causing the disruption in the families and the many things that's going on. A lot of our people think it should be proud for holding on to scalps. A lot of them still have them in their households across this country today. That means with the tribal nations. And then other nations of cultures collect them. And so they got the darkness within them, and they're dark people. They're angered, they're hateful, they're pissed off, they're separating the people all the time. Because of the energy and the force and the power that walks with how they did things in the past, and that energy is walking with those scalps, and the energy force is the dark force that's connected to that, that's keeping the people separated from walking in the truth. So those people who carry those go out and separate the people all the time in confusion and keep anger and hatred and jealousy continuing. So in the past, when those scalps were taken from the tribal nations, those relations of them people, they went after them tribes to get those scalps back. Why? Because they carried the spirits, and they wanted them to be at rest. If they weren't at rest, then darkness would take place, exactly what's taking place now. And it's still carrying on. So a lot of stuff is going on in a way that nature and knowledge of the wisdom of the past needs to be retraced and to be understood and to be redirected with the truth, called spoken truth. Right now, I have some people have wrote a book about me, and I hope that many people can get this book. It's called Spoken Truth, and it's sold on Amazon.com and in Barnes & Noble's. So the work I've been doing in America, some people have been getting information in Europe about this. Now, they wrote about this in Europe by dreams and visions, and they wrote this book, and they were told to write it about the work that I'm doing here. So people want to know who I am and what I'm doing, and more information about what I'm talking about. I asked them to buy this book, and this book will promote healing centers for the tribal nations and for people like myself to have finances to travel to talk to other groups, so we won't have to be asking for money after money all the time. This gets old, asking for donations to travel to do our work. So those who will buy this book, those finances and those monies will go to promote my traveling and also build healing centers. And there's books. If there's one book out now, and there's supposed to be four more books behind it, called Spoken Truth. And so when they read these things, what I'm talking about is being put into the books already. It's not me writing it. It's coming through the spirits who are speaking to people in Europe. And they're bringing it from the east, west. To talk about many things of truth in this book. And it's very powerful. And when the people read it and understand their emotions and their thoughts, and especially if they get Dr. Emoto's messages from water, how things work with the water, then they'll understand how things have been imprinted and why they need to be cleaned and cleared, the carpets of Mother Earth all over the planet. And especially for this Dolphin Nation ceremony that I'm proposing for the peoples to take under consideration and do. So this means, you know, these places are in Casper, Wyoming, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, Twin Falls, Idaho, Winnemucca, Nevada, Bishop, California, Ventura, California, Oceanside, California, El Centro. And then it goes up to Mona, Utah, Shoshone, Nevada, Moapa, Nevada, Saratoga, Wyoming, and Laramie, and Casper, Wyoming. This is a crescent moon. And then the star of this crescent moon is Hotavilla in Hopi lands. And I'm asking all of them to pray and vibrate the earth for 24 hours on May 13th and 14th so we can clear the sacred sites with our thought forms to purify the water, the earth, the land, and all things within that crescent moon. And then that crescent moon has a stem that runs off that going towards the north, towards Oregon and Washington. And we're asking four tribes and five tribes to set on the platform of the cup and on the stem three nations. And that is called like a Holy Grail cup. So, of course, I'll be accused of, oh, he's going into religion now. Well, this is the cup of life. And when the cup of this cup runneth over with love and peace that is on the earth, we'll clear the sacred sites and everything within that. We'll get the vibration of love and peace, and our people will come back into a norm, more of a wisdom type knowledge as I travel to these nations, asking them to open in love and peace and harmony to reheal Mother Earth and their relationships in peace. On these sacred sites, I'm asking them to smoke the pipe of peace, to let go of the differences of those tribes and all of those sacred sites I mentioned, to come into love and honor one another for the love of Mother Earth, for the love of the children and our families, and to clear the water on those sacred sites of the darkness and the anger and the hatred that has been spilled into those springs, into the air, into the clouds, into the soil, into the trees, so that they could clear their sacred sites so they would be pure again. So when we go there to gather all the nations, we drink the water, smell the air, we have the darkness knocked out of us, anger, hatred, and jealousy, and we begin to come into peace. Work together, and these are the messages I'm asking our peoples to come together and asking the tribal nations to consider to allow the white people, the black, and the yellow nations to come together with them. And if not, at least them to come together first to understand what we need to understand is some of the messages that has been promoted. And the need is saying they have two choices. They have to make their own choices, not me to force them or say anything. It's saying, or tell them how to do anything. In other words, it's asking them to consider there's only two choices, to be or not to be. And this is the messages of what the earth is saying now. Anyone who's in an area that needs fixed and we don't fix it with our drums and our vibration, our sounds and our ceremonies, will be fixed by Mother Earth and by the sun, our father, the creator, through the electrical magnetic energy of the solar flares and the energies coming in the spirals towards the earth and from the moon itself, our grandmother. And on the earth, they will be sent out, called the sacred serpents, will come out of the earth, and they'll come out of the sun and the moon. And that will shift all of the earth's tectonic plates, and wherever these places aren't fixed is where there'll be catastrophes to fix the earth, and there'll be many deaths take place. But the earth will fix itself, and it's not going to wait for anyone.
So these
are the messages.
The name of the book is Spoken Truth, Spiritual Messages from Warriors of Old. And it's by Visions Life Force Foundation.
Yes.
And it's available on Amazon. They've got, you can buy it anywhere from new at $28.49 all the way down to used copies for like $14.68. And just need to go to Amazon.com.
Well, I ask them to go to my website and buy them there, because every time they buy a book, it promotes $1.50 to me. Every time they buy a book, it helps me travel.
And what's your website?
It's www.teton-rainbows.com.
Okay. Teton-rainbows.com.
Dash dot.
Yeah, teton-rainbows.com.
Right.
And, that's fantastic. I have to get a copy of that myself. There it is. There you go. Spoken Truth, Visions of Life Force. I think that's great.
Well, there are some beautiful messages there, and we just took them to the buffalo ranch over there in Flagstaff where the white buffalo is.
Yep.
The lady picked it up, and she couldn't put it down, and she read it for 30 hours. And many others have said the same thing, and so it's beautiful messages of things, and I'm praying that the finances and the funding will come. What I'm looking for is trying to get 200 copies when I travel to the indigenous nations to give this information to the people to consider looking after I talk to them, to let them from to this book. It has pictures of the warriors of old who gave the messages. That means our ancestors. So I just came from the Navajo Nation over in Canyoncito, over in Grant's area, from an old elder over there. He's 106 years old. And he looked at those pictures and said, "Look, it's my mother. It's some of my relations in here." And he was stunned. And so his daughter picked up the book, and now she's reading it. And so they're looking for new ways of thinking, and so that really enhanced them and sparked them that, you know, there's something to what's going on. Through spirituality is what it is. It only is what it is because it isn't. We don't need to prove in science and this and that it works. We know it works. And that's all we need to know, and that's what the Great Spirit says. You've been given the power to be who you are. You are God's. Use your minds, make what you need, fix it. That's what prayers are about.
We sure need
to think about things when it comes to play.
We sure need to figure out a way to get you on, like, Coast to Coast AM. 10 million people listening. That would really help.
Yeah, it would.
And I'm not saying I can do it, but last year when Red Elk was ill, I got a hold of the telephone number for George Norrie's producer.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It's the little yellow pill that scientists say could eliminate chronic diseases and help you live well into your hundreds.
You might be able to increase the lifespan of a mammal by 50%. And, of course, if that was a human being, then that might be in the order of 130 to 150 years.
That claim might be hard to swallow, but tonight on ABC's Primetime Live, co-anchor John Quinones takes the promising antioxidant therapy called Protandim.
I have become a guinea pig for ABC News and Primetime. It's not a drug. It's a supplement. It's called Protandim, and it's a combination of five exotic plants that have been around for centuries.
Have you discovered the fountain of youth?
I wouldn't put it that way, but we may have discovered something that will tell us a lot more about how we age, what happens biochemically, and maybe how we can slow it down.
Quinones has been taking Protandim for 2 weeks now and tells Extra,
I am sleeping better, I feel a lot better, and also energized when I do wake up.
Primetime puts Protandim to the test tonight.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
I'm going to give her a call because I interviewed Adam Rubel last night, and Grandfather Carlos Barrios, because of the flooding down in Guatemala, they'd like to put on an appeal for funds also. So, but I'm going to tell them they need to get you on there too. That the work that you're doing is very important, and they generally usually don't put somebody on unless there is a book involved. And see what I can do.
All right. Well, I thank you there, brother.
Ian Punnett is one of the hosts on the weekends, and I do correspond with him from time to time. He knows who I am because, you know, we work with Red Elk. And that's a cool book cover. You know, when you see the cover of Spoken Truth, it looks kind of like it's a dark cover, kind of
a wolf.
Yeah, and you look at it, it looks like, I thought it was a hat or something. And then I saw the two eyes, you know, and I went, oh my gosh, it's a wolf, you know. So, well,
wolf with a white feather, and so the wolf is saying that the days of the lone wolf is over, and so the wolf is gathering the packs of humanity back together through the sacredness of the white feather. The blue is the wisdom and the knowledge that's coming. To the white is the sacredness for peace.
Well, we sure appreciate you coming on the show, and I'll get a hold. Like I said, I've got that phone number, and I'll let Ian Punnett know, and let's see what we can do, because I there's got to be a way to get you more travel funds, and. I know the folks on Coast to Coast would love to hear you.
Well, I thank you for presenting that to them, and it would be great if you could do that, and if it's to be, then it will be, and I always enjoy being on your show talking, and, you know, I'm kind of short for time right now, so I'd like to probably just chop it off for a bit here, and come back and speak at another time, if possible, in the future, and let you know what's going on with the ceremony. Right now I'm in California having a little tough go trying to find the right people to talk to in the tribal nations and the circles. And I have a great sister working with me today, she's ready to go out and get on the road and bring communication to the elders.
You know, even if you'd like to call in once a week, even if it's just for, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes to let people know where you're at, what you're doing, we can do that. Just give me a call.
Okay, that sounds cool. I like to do that.
Because if I'm in and we're not, you know, in the middle of a meal or because what Betty's diabetic and or going to some appointment, we can do it right there. Okay.
Okay, that sounds great.
Good deal. All right, this has been Grandfather Blue Thunder, Benny LeBeau, the second interview, and we're looking forward to hearing from him again.
Eastern Shoshone from Wyoming, from the Wind River Reservation.
That's right. That's where my old teacher, White Eagle Neal, grew up on that reservation. Well, thanks a lot to Grandfather Blue Thunder.
Well, many blessings to you and safe journeys and great health to you. And asking for more dirt and more donations for you also. And I know it's hard to keep your radio station going, too.
Well, we just need just enough to...
My prayers will be with you.
Just enough to... We just ask for enough to stay on the air. And if we start getting more than we need, we're going to start sending it out to people like you to help. You know, I keep praying, you know, Grandfather Creator, you know, let me win the lottery, because he knows exactly what I'd do with it. I'd fund you and Red Elk and everybody else that needed to get out and travel. You do a lot with $300 million, you know.
Oh, yeah, that would be something.
Can you imagine?
These are messages that people are being ripped off in these areas, so when the money comes, we have to clear and clean it off.
Yeah. But can you imagine what we could do if we had $300 million? We could endow 100 elders, give them brand new motor homes and way more than enough money to travel anywhere they wanted to go and eat for several.
Yeah, that'd be great to have a 28-foot motor home, just a smaller one, and then have a vehicle small enough behind it, easy on gas.
Little chase
back and forth when you're sitting somewhere. Those motorhomes are hard to take care of there, especially if you have to get off the road. So
that's right.
If anyone's out there listening and they want to help donate, they got millions. I pray that they will send some help with a new vehicle, a new horse, a motorhome, and a new vehicle to drag around to bring messages of peace. So I bless them, thank them if they would do this, and the Creator will bless them immensely. I know that, and for all of our people, because we're doing the best that we can.
Well, thanks a lot. We're looking forward to hearing from you again.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Listens.
Have a good day.
Oh, we will too.
Bye-bye.
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Blue Otter. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Blue Otter, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Remember who I am. The following is a rebroadcast of James Mooney's interview on Normal Radio.
The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. Welcome. It is Thursday, July 28th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for our show today. We've got all sorts of great stuff in store for you for this hour, and following that, another hour live here on Toker Talk Radio. So thanks for being here. We're so glad you made it. All right, welcome back, everyone. We always like speaking to our former and current law enforcement officers who've involved themselves in helping to end this stupid war on drugs. And joining us today, we have James Mooney, a former Utah narcotics detective and also a medicine man in the Seminole tribe. Mr. Mooney, welcome to the show. Oh, looks like we've dropped the call. Let me see if I can get the call back here just a second. Mr. Mooney, are you there on the line?
I sure am.
Oh, thanks for joining us here. We appreciate you being here. I was just telling everyone that you spent over a decade in Utah State law enforcement and in the Department of Corrections, and you were involved in enforcing the drug war. What was your experience there, and what did you learn from it?
Well, if I was to talk about the experience, that could take for a week. However, to give you what I learned from it is I realized that it was probably the most detrimental work and one of the most embarrassing experiences of my entire life once I realized that I was actually contributing to the problem of our nation not a solution to what I thought I was. And how that happened was that I had two people inside of a house that were wired and making a buy, and all of a sudden I heard this little boy cry out for his mother. And it dawned on me, I'm going to take his mother and his father away for 10 years. And when that happened, everything started to change in me, that consciousness. And since then I realized that not only was I doing something inappropriate and that was not aiding my fellow citizenship, I realized it is the most detrimental thing, policy, I believe, that this country has ever got involved with. It's horrible. It's horrible. And I feel extremely sad about all the people that I had incarcerated. It was horrible.
Well, James, and you know, I'm glad that you came to that realization. What is it that prevents so many other law enforcement officers from making the same realization you did?
Well, they're doing their job, and they're basically doing their job. That's what they're hired for, is to enforce the laws of this land. And their fault is really with the legislators and or the public as a whole that will not stand up for the Constitution or pass laws that are constitutionally fit. And then you have a public that are brainwashed that will not get involved and stand up for their constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so almost any law enforcement officer, after a period of time, realizes the unconstitutionality of the laws and drugs. And some people work within the system. I know the prosecutor that terminated the entire task force for his county, because he said every time we break down a door, it's violating the Constitution, and I will not stand for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so there are people that are working within the system, but when you get out of the system, then you have nothing holding you back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what LEAP is all about.
Right.
LEAP is law enforcement officers that are against prohibition. And boy, you don't have it. I mean, you get a person like myself and Peter Christ and these guys, I mean, holy mackerel. I mean, now the dedication that we had on locking people up, boy, it's the exact opposite now. We're doing everything in the world to keep people from being locked up.
Mm, that's good.
And LEAP is doing it. And they're doing it in a good way. They're doing it in a respectful way. And in a mature way, and it's going to happen. I don't know if you're aware or not, but Neil Anderson, who is the leader of our of LEAP, just signed on the NAACP.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to use their lobbying efforts to end the war on drugs, end the war on prohibition. And boy, the movement is happening only because of LEAP.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're speaking with James Mooney, a former undercover narcotics officer in Utah, and also a speaker with LEAP. And you know, you mentioned the officers; they're doing their job. But on a personal level, for these officers, do you find, or did you find, that there were many of them that were conflicted about it? That internally, it just tore them up to do what they had to do, but they rationalized it as being their job to do.
No, not what they're doing. As a whole.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few of my friends with LEAP that had that consciousness while they were law enforcement, active law enforcement officers. The major motivation for an undercover person is more of a rush. I mean, it's a rush. It's addictive.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's all built on pride. Where in the academy they basically teach, you know, this is a good, these are good pinches, you might say, and so it's more look at how many guys I got off the street, and we use the term bad guys because we don't really understand that every citizen of this nation we're employed by them, and so, but that's blinded. So we think that anybody that smoked, or we thought that, or I thought, anybody that was selling dope to kids, I mean, I went after them all with a vengeance, obviously. And it had nothing to do with, I mean, my thoughts had nothing to do with what's the legality of this. My thing was, too, I mean, it's a rush.
You know,
you're busting down somebody's door and, you know, it's just a flipping rush.
Hmm.
So I think it's between doing your job and knowing and feeling that you're doing a fantastic job and the rush. That's what really motivates me.
Right. Now, in your bio, we also see you listed as the name Flaming Eagle in the Seminole Indian tribe, and that you'd been dedicated since age 4 as a medicine man in the tribe. And I'm wondering, because we do a lot of reporting on the issues involved with marijuana specifically, since we're normal, and we've reported on the issues in the African American community and Latino communities. How has the drug war impacted Native American communities, and is there anything about Native American culture that looks at this differently than maybe we have in the mainstream?
Well, yes. The major thing is, I think it's a very important issue for everyone, every citizen of the United States, is to realize the basic principles of why the war on drugs is, it's racial. Mm-hmm. It's culture. And it's a process of wanting to suppress a culture. Native American religion and its culture is all based with honoring and respecting every plant as being sacred. And that includes cannabis. That includes it. And so when they outlawed cannabis, but they also outlawed peyote.
Right.
And we know unequivocally that marijuana has a medicinal factor to it. But to the Native American church, it also has a spiritual factor to it. Now, peyote is the prime medicine that we utilize in our church. Well, off of the Native American church is. That's the only sacrament that we have. We have independent branches that have their belief is cannabis is their sacrament. And so I honor both of those, to be frank with you.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that realize that the marijuana has incredible medicinal factors to it, and peyote has proven by Harvard Hospital, or Harvard School of Medicine, they did a whole research, and people that take peyote on a regular consistent basis score higher on every index of people's intellect and emotional indexes that they're measured than the people that don't take it. So why in the living daylights is marijuana and peyote scheduled one for goodness sake when it actually benefits people? So the only answer is it's a racial and cultural thing that somebody tried to depress.
Absolutely. We're speaking with James Flaming Eagle Mooney, a former undercover narcotics officer from Utah and also Seminole Indian medicine man. And with respect to the peyote, I'm glad you mentioned that, because we've seen in the American judicial system how there have been a couple Supreme Court decisions, one regarding peyote, another one involving ayahuasca tea for some Brazilian Native American churches, that said, okay, even though it's Schedule 1, since you have this religious use for it, we will make that exception for your churches. But they don't make that same exception for cannabis, and I kind of explain it as the problem is the God sacrament is too popular in this case. Any comments or thoughts about that hypocrisy where two of them are allowed but one is not, just because I guess white folks like me like to smoke it too?
Well, the simple fact is the Ayahuasca Church that went all the way to the United States Supreme Court, they fought the battle, and the reason they fought it was because Jeff Brockman had the money to be able to do it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And 99% of all the prosecution of cannabis is negotiated in lower courts. And, but if they stood their ground and just said, hey, if you're found guilty, I appeal it, and you go right up the foot of that ladder and it gets to the United States Supreme Court, you're going to win. Pure and simple. And the majority of the times, I'm not an attorney, but I got to tell you, I know that when I busted somebody and they have a lot of money, we're not going to. Mainly, I was dealing with dealers. We're not going to try them at the local level. We're going to send it to the United States, the federal level, and we're not prosecuting them for utilizing marijuana or selling or distributing marijuana or whatever it is. No, we're not. We're prosecuting them on tax evasion.
Exactly.
And that way they can't. So they go to the Utah or the United States Supreme Court. They're not going to win because we've proven that they've evaded paying taxes. And so, but if they don't have the money, I prosecuted them on the state level, and then they usually plea bargain, and they don't even think about the.
Mm-hmm. You know, another question that I like to ask the former law enforcement officers we talk to here in Cops Say Legalized Drugs is the relationship in policing between the police and the people they're supposed to protect and serve. And in your experience, how has the war on drugs affected that relationship between the public and the police?
It's horrible. It's horrible. Okay. Another reason, and this is the first time I've ever mentioned it, I was known in the 7 years that I worked undercover that I took down more people than all the other undercover and CI put together in the state of Utah. So I'm working on a situation where people were flying in their material into a community that had airplane hangars like we have garages.
Mm.
Okay, I've been working on that for a long time, and my one contact, I remember we were meeting at a place, we were ready to come down on this particular place, this community, and he gets out of his car, and I could tell he's angry. And he finally comes up to me, and he says, it's off. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, we can't bust these people. And I said, well, I won't say what exactly I said. And I said, well, why not? And he said, because one of the commissioners of the county, it's their business.
Oh.
And so I said back, and I said, so what you're telling me, and I'm not going to say who it was, but what you're telling me, we've been knocking out this guy's competition so he could make a bigger bundle. And that's, he looked at me and said, that's the way it is, Jim.
Wow. Yeah, the corruption's endemic. We see it all over, and it always seems to be, you know, we speak to former law enforcement officers, and it goes all the way to former presidents. You see those former presidents of Mexico and Latin American countries coming out and saying we need to legalize. What do we need to do to break it so that the institutions themselves can recognize that we need to legalize drugs?
Okay, you asked me a question just before we got into this, and right now, the Native American Church, Aquila Native American Church, which is the only Native American church the United States will recognize as being an earth-based healing religion that isn't practicing on a reservation.
Okay.
Because we're an earth-based healing religion, meaning that every plant is considered sacred to us, anybody that has a card of Aquila Native American Church, all they have to do, if they're stopped, they show the officer that card, and or they have a sticker on the back of their automobile above their license. The officer is placed on notice. This is a church. And if you violate his civil liberties, that person's civil liberties, that cop goes to jail, not you.
How can people get more information on the Native American Church?
You go to www.nativeamericanchurch.net.
Okay.
That's the first step. Okay? The next step, until people understand their constitutional rights, if the officer blows it and he goes ahead and violates it, first of all, he asks you, can I search your car? And you show him the card, and you say, I want you to know that anything you find in this automobile, it belongs to the church. And if he pursues that, then he's in trouble. Okay? But what really happens, because nobody knows about this, because nobody is educated enough, so what happens is he goes ahead and gets, well, let me give you an example. Okay? I have a card holder. He was up on U.S. Forestry. Okay, and he was worshiping with his candles. Now, mind you, again, Aquila Native American Church, the one that I supervise, it's just peyote that all we deal with. Okay, but this person belonged to another Aquila Native American Church that happens to worship cannabis. And I want to add this one, too. Tuscalero, which is an Indian tribe, has been practicing the use of peyote or use of cannabis for thousands of years. They, okay, the name Tuscalora means hemp harvester. So that tells you another thing of how long the indigenous people of this continent have been utilizing that for their spiritual practices. So what happened with this fellow, he is worshiping with his cannabis, U.S. Forest Ranger comes up, sees it, confiscates his cannabis, which is about a pound, I think, or something, and writes him a ticket. So he knows about the laws, this young fellow, and he goes to court, and the U.S. attorneys approach him and says to him, we're not going to prosecute you on this. And this kid says, no, I want to talk to the judge. And he argues with the prosecuting attorney for 5 minutes that he wants to go and talk with the judge.
Please prosecute.
And the prosecutor finally says, you're not seeing the judge because we're not pressing charges on you.
Wow. What an amazing story. Hey, folks, check out NativeAmericanChurch.net for more information. And James Flaming Eagle Mooney is a speaker for law enforcement against prohibition. Find out why so many law enforcers support replacing the war on drugs with legalization and regulation. Book a LEAP speaker for your next meeting, debate, or educational event. You can contact the speakers Bureau at speakers@leap.cc or by calling 617-955-9638. James Mooney, former undercover narcotics officer from Utah, thank you so much for joining us here on Cops Say Legalize Drugs.
It's my honor. Thank you.
Our politics is infected by a terrible strain of reefer madness. Republicans who shout about states' rights, limited government, and individual responsibility seem to have no problem superseding state law, fostering a massive bureaucracy, and intruding on the individual if he smokes a joint. Democrats who shout about government surveillance, racial justice, and environmental protection seem to have no problem spying on people, locking up blacks disproportionately, and rejecting an alternative to trees and oil in order to stop an individual from smoking a joint.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Then to add insult to injury, we have a president who's a constitutional law professor who reveres scientific inquiry and has personal experience on the issue who seems to have no problem perverting the Bill of Rights, rejecting science, and locking up or forcing into rehab people just like him who smoked a joint.
I'm grateful for this life, for the chance to behold your face again. When my sacred journey's over, when it all comes to an end, I'll enter the next life to live again.
As Blue Water, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Museum.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated. And freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now, Marie
Osmond.
Put it
under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet, all for $9.99, formerly priced at $29.99. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
You want to get an edge on turning back the clock with just a few pills? Who doesn't? Well, it's no longer science fiction, but science possibility, a potential breakthrough. As I found out firsthand, there may be a way to erase years, at least inside my body. Granted, it's down the road, but some scientists are wondering if a new pill I took might offer a very long life.
It may not look like the Fountain of Youth, but inside this nondescript building, I'm about to become part of an exciting experiment, a kind of guinea pig.
Dr. McCord, okay.
I'm here at the University of Colorado in Denver to meet Dr. Joe McCord, a world-renowned scientist.
This is pretty exciting stuff you're finding, huh?
It is. We're very excited about it.
His latest research could very well unravel the mystery of aging itself. And his decades of experiments may have the potential of adding years to people's lives and possibly prevent chronic diseases like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. It all centers around this small yellow pill, and for me, it begins with a blood test.
It wouldn't be the first time I've given blood for this company.
They want to check my levels of something called T-bars, which is a rough indicator of a person's actual age. T-bars can identify a condition known as oxidative stress, a kind of measure of the wear and tear on our bodies. Oxidative stress, like the rusting of an engine, is not a good thing.
Bad for the body.
Leading to disease.
Leading to disease and leading to malfunction, and importantly, leading to what we call aging. It is a slow progression of increasing oxidative stress. That's the main characteristic biochemically of the aging process.
The problem of aging begins with the very food we eat to give us energy. As our cells burn that food, they also release toxic chemicals. Those chemicals, you may know them as free radicals, react with all the components of our cells, literally bombarding them millions of times per second, damaging all our cells. The result? Oxidative stress. And we all have it. The body fights back with a system of defenses. It makes two antioxidant enzymes, catalase and SOD, whose job is to gobble up the free radicals before they can harm our cells.
So, doctor, how often do I take these?
And so, here I go. With that swallow, I've just become part of a potentially landmark scientific experiment.
Doesn't taste bad.
It's called Protandim, and tests on both mice and humans have already shown that it revs up the manufacture of those good enzymes in our bodies. More enzymes, fewer free radicals to harm us. Whether that will lead to longer life is still unknown. Experiments to see if mice live longer are about to get underway, but it's a tantalizing theory.
Right now, all we know is that this preparation decreases oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is not a disease, just like aging is not in itself a disease, but it's something that accompanies and is attached to many disease processes. So you can see the age-related...
Normally, oxidative stress, measured by those T-bars, increases with age. But in Dr. McCord's tests, taking just one pill of Protandim a day reversed that trend for everyone at every age, even for an 80-year-old.
They all are reduced to the level of oxidative stress that one would expect, frankly, in a newborn or a very young child.
Back to the oxidative stress levels of a child? It sounds too good to be true. Will Protandim work on me?
The scientific evidence is there. The pieces seem to make sense. The question is, does this translate into something that humans can take advantage of?
And so, ancient Eastern healing and modern Western medicine may soon be working together. High oxidative stress is associated with more than aging. It's been linked to hundreds of illnesses.
It's at the very center of many diseases. Liver disease, diabetes, emphysema, asthma. I've studied all of these. Strokes, heart attacks.
Even mental disease.
Yes.
Depression?
Alzheimer's disease, depression.
Dr. James Crapo with the National Jewish Medical Center in Denver is also researching Protandim for the company.
Are you saying that this could be a cure-all?
You're looking at something that will have a small impact, but an important impact.
We make no claims about curing any disease or preventing any disease. We hope that when enough studies are done, perhaps such claims might be able to be made in the future.
Clinical studies to assess Protandim in both diabetes and heart disease should start in 3 to 4 months. But what about my progress? After nearly 2 weeks now, it's time to get my results. Dr. McCord calculates the numbers. The result? My level of oxidative stress has declined dramatically.
45%. That's excellent.
Just look at where I fall on the graph, before and after.
Which, if extrapolated back, is the level you would see in a newborn baby.
Have we turned back the clock? Well, maybe not on the outside, but deep inside, within my cells. Yes, indeed.
Would you suggest I keep taking this supplement?
I would. I can't guarantee it's going to extend your life. I can't guarantee it's going to eliminate any diseases or cure any diseases.
But we do know that oxidative stress is part of those disease processes. I don't want to wait until I'm 80 years old and find out that I should have taken it.
For more, go to our website at abcnews.com.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Major universities and government agencies initiated and continue self-funded studies following the ABC Primetime Investigative Report you just viewed that originally aired in 2005. These studies continue to reveal more scientific evidence about Protandim's unique benefits. They are published in major scientific and medical journals. The next video will bring you up to date.
Developed after 40 years of research and exclusively for LifeVantage, Protandim is a true scientific breakthrough in anti-aging. Protandim has been reported on ABC, NBC, and PBS, featured in the Wall Street Journal, and described in CNN Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta's book, Chasing Life, The Quest for Immortality. Protandim's creator, Dr. Joe McCord, is a world-renowned scientist and a pioneer in free radical biology. Dr. McCord is the discoverer of the key anti-aging enzyme, superoxide dismutase. His role in the discovery is so significant, the enzyme is measured in McCord units. For Dr. McCord's discovery of superoxide dismutase and his contributions in free radical biology,